Good morning. This is the second Sunday in Easter. From John, the 20th chapter, beginning at verse 19, we find these words. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you have forgiven the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Let us pray. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. In the name of Jesus I pray, amen. Beloved, when you or a loved one is subjected to violence, tragic events, fatal accidents, disrupted lives, broken promises, when violence occurs against your body or mind, when your heart is broken and you experience profound sadness, there are moments afterward that make life better, if not but for a moment. Moments that change your trajectory from a downward spiral to an upward swing. These moments allow you to cling to hope, justice, and a desire to see things change and to see change happen. Change for good. Change that allows you to cling to the text, such as, "All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose." Better yet, may the peace of God that passeth all understanding keep your heart and mind. That's it, Lord. Keep my heart and keep my mind. From my Henry Nouwen writings, I found this. The source of all physical, emotional, intellectual, volitional, and moral energies come from the heart. He says, from the heart arise unknowable impulses as well as conscious feelings, moods, and wishes. The heart, too, has its reasons and is the center of perception and understanding. Nouwen says, finally, the heart is the seat of the will. It makes plans and comes to good decisions. Thus, the heart is the central and unifying organ of our personal life. Our heart determines our personality and is therefore not only the place where God dwells, but also the place to which Satan directs his fiercest attacks. It is the heart that is the place of prayer. The prayer of the heart is a prayer that directs itself to God from the center of person and thus affects the whole of our humanness, Nouwen says. Also, from the heart comes the decision to give up and lie down, the failure to thrive and thoughts of self-harm. When one grows tired and weary, their heart just stops. As I was working on this sermon, in the same moment I got an email notification from Nicole Jones. And I stopped to read it, and it said, "Good morning, everyone. I pray all is well with you and your family in these troubling times. We will all get through this together as we continue to pray. I'm reaching out to make sure you're okay. Continuing to pray and let me know if you need anything. Peace and blessings, Nicole." Just as I'm writing about These moments in life that make life lovingly better. At 6:45 a.m. in the morning, I get this note from Nicole that makes my life a little bit better. Knowing that someone's willing to break in on my melancholy pity party to bring me some joy, and actually brings me joy. Look at the text in John this morning. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." They were locked in the house. They had self-quarantined from the violence of the other day at Calvary. They were afraid, not knowing what tomorrow would bring. And yet in that moment, as the sun had set, came a moment of profound joy. Jesus breaks in on their melancholic pity party. Number one, it's Jesus. That helps. And number two, he's risen from the tomb. That really helps. And it was the one who was there and whose souls were longing for and trying to remember the words that he promised and if they were indeed true. In the most tumultuous times of their life, he speaks the words, "Peace be with you." Oh, what I'd give this morning to watch a congregation go on and on with the peace of the Lord. With these words and his appearance, he changes the trajectory of the moment from one of profound grief and fear to authentic joy. They know that life for them is changed, and without Jesus, there is no buffer against the wiles of this demon who would destroy this new way of the cross. Jesus was consistent, speaking against the norms of the religious world of his time. He was fulfilling what the prophet Isaiah had foretold. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He have sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. This is what to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." And so after the crucifixion, the disciples went into hiding from the Sanhedrin. They wanted to dissuade anyone who would preach that he rose from the dead. So they persecuted the disciples. The disciples also lived in fear because their helper was no longer with them. He told them that he'd send another helper. But none of this made sense in this moment. And when you live in the midst of crisis, none of the words of comfort make sense sometimes. Sometimes in the middle of the crisis, there's nothing that can be done or said that will make you feel better. We can conclude that the crisis must run its course. That's barring some miracle. The disciples were in deep trouble because they were co-conspirators with Jesus, who said he was the Son of Man and the Son of God. And remember, he says, "No one comes to the Father but by me." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He said, "I am the bread that has come down from heaven." And once this became reality, the plot began to be formulated on how they would destroy him. You remember in Mark, the 3rd chapter and the 4th verse, then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But the Sanhedrin remained silent, and he looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and on his hand, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill this Jesus. Here's my declaration for this moment of crisis, for this moment of persecution, for this moment of trial. Folks want to hear from you, and they want to hear that you believe the word of God concerning matters of the heart. They want to hear that you believe the word of God concerning peace. They want to hear that you believe you will overcome evil with good. They want to hear from you that everything's going to be all right. They want to hear that you can have life, and that more abundantly. And so here is our moment. Here is the moment when the hearts are strengthened. "As the Father has sent me, so I send you," Jesus says. when he said this to the disciples, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And the psalmist says to wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. By finally meeting up with Jesus, their hearts are strengthened and their peace is increased. Jesus shows them his wounds. And you, my beloved, will see the wounds of many. You will stand in the storm with folk. You will recognize that they have been cast down but not destroyed. It is the resurrection and the appearance that gives us the victory. Ignore the prognosticators who predict the worst. Oh, the worst will come. There is a time of peaking, and they will say, when will the curve flatten? But for you, my beloved, there is joy to come. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and know that your labor is not in vain. This period of waiting should be viewed as a time of waiting on God so that he might strengthen our hearts in the midst of crisis and in trouble. Our example is the disciples. As bad as it may have seemed, they were in flux, limbo, and when he shows up, the stuff, all of it works together for good. This thing called life does get better. When the worst comes, all of heaven steps up to provide the help that you need. Jesus said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." First, you receive power, power to work through this confusion and difficulty, and then you receive the power to make a difference in the lives of others. Oh, yes, you have the power to hang on or to let go. It simply says if you forgive folks, folks are forgiven. And if you hang on to their stuff, they are hung on to. The expectation is that you will forgive so that you are forgiven. And the power is in forgiving. The power is in moving forward. The power is in loving. The power is in seeing the wounds of others. The power is in believing God is able. The power is in seeing the risen Savior. In this you rejoice, even if for now, for a little while, you have to suffer these trials, this crisis, this quarantine, this isolation, so that the genuineness of your faith, when you come forth, when you come out of your houses, when you go back to church, when you go back to school, they will see the genuineness of your faith being more precious than gold. That though perishable, you've been tested by fire. Even if you die in the midst of this crisis, you were tested by fire and you've been found full of praise and glory and honor. When Jesus Christ is revealed, you'll be found. Still praising, still worshiping, still giving God all of the thanks. So this moment, this crisis, this momentary disruption is nothing to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in you when God gets finished with you. Job says you'll come forth as pure gold. This is a time of refinement. This is a time of rest. This is a time of refreshment. This is a time when Jesus Christ is revealed and the power of his resurrection is known to all. And the church said, Amen.